I don't think we need much of an introduction for Tehillim. It's obvious that David HaMelech wrote Tehillim, but it was based on many writers from before him. The Gemara in Bava Basra says 10 writers beforehand. Well, that says the 10 writers that were before him, right? The three B'nai Korach, those Avraham Avinu involved, other Marishim involved, etc. There were a bunch of different other writers that were involved. But, on the other hand,
what? Shlomo wrote one of them.
Well, the end... Shlomo. That could be based on something that Shlomo wrote as well, but in the very beginning it says Kalut Filos David Ben Yishai at the end of the first sefer. So those seem to be, and we'll see. There's a bunch of them that are really weird. Well, that's the end of the first sefer. So go through that. Yeah, look right over there. Look at the MLS. So we could do it. Do you want to do the Yeratzim beforehand?
I don't know what it's for. I mean, I know what it's for. But
people do it before you do Tehillim. Technically, it's when you do it during the week. Okay, it's unnecessary though. We can do it if we want, but we'll go through. Alright, but the first couple of Tehillim are all about David Melech's life. And it's interesting because we're going to go through David Melech's life as we go through this, different things that happen to him. So the first thing is just an overall encompassing what is Tehillim all about. It's Asher Yishar Lo Halach Ba'atzer Shem Yudarechatim Lo Amad Moshe Vleitim Lo Yashav. Happy is a person that doesn't go in the way of the Rishayim, by the Eitzah, the council of the Rishayim. In the ways of the sinners he won't stand, and among the sitters of scoffers he does not sit. He doesn't want to be like this. And it's like this. Again, somebody who departs from evil and does good is going to be firmly implanted in this world and he's going to be happy. That's the idea of what you're supposed to get over here. The other way, wicked are going to are in the end, we see that the wicked prosper, but it's not lasting. It's not going to be there over there. He says that the Me'amoi explains that the wicked are fearful for the future, about what's going to be in the future. They're worried about what they have. So their counsel to people, their eitzah to people is amass riches, find pleasure as much as you can, in the present, and have stuff available for the future. And for that, although it sounds great, that's something you should do, we would believe in part of that, that we don't believe in the find the pleasure as the ultimate purpose of mankind and what he's supposed to do. We believe that there's a soul that has to find its own pleasure in and of itself. And when it comes to saving for the future, there is an issue of bitachon, and how that comes to play is sort of subjective to every person, right? How everybody's going to learn that up.
It's written in a weird tense, though. That did not go.
Right. I think it's supposed to be that way. That it's not only that he's not going, that he never walked in the Atzis Rishayim.
When he walked that way, it's going to be praiseworthy to see. He's in a good place.
Ashrei, I'm going to be translating as happy throughout almost the entire Sefer. So an unbelievable piece by Rav Hirsch on why the word Ashrei means happy instead of praiseworthy. We're going to see that quite often. But I like the word Ashrei in that way. Ashrei Am Shekachal Asher Am Shasham Lakav. I hold the same way. The Amloids also translates as happy. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but we look at throughout history, the Jews weren't always happy.
Agreed. But that's the point. Somebody who does this, who acts in his life this way, will have a different form of happiness. Right? Ezu, not Ezu Ashir, the line from the Michtamil from Rav Dessler and deals with this as well. It's interesting, by the way, if you look at the Sofei Tevis of the first four letters, Ashrei Ish Asher Lo, is also the Sofei Tevis of Ashrei. That somebody does this in the end will also be happy in such an idea. All right, let's go into Pasuk Beis. It says, "Kim Besoras Hashem Chatzel." Oh, I forgot one thing. Leitzim. That when it refers to Leitzim over here, a Leitz is a scoffer. A scoffer who makes fun of everything, who just looks at everything and laughs at it and says, that's absolutely nothing. Pasuk Beis, "Kim Besoras Hashem Chatzel." His desire is to do the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zerasa Yagei Yom Lalaila. And in that Torah, he speaks about day and night. We learn from this puzzle, so Yagi Yom Lalaila, you should spend all of your time, everything that you can, in order to learn Torah. We have that line also in Yoshua, but your life should be all about Torah as well as whatever you need to do in order to live your life of Torah, to be able to do it. So first of all, he said, Sur Meira, stay away from the Rishayim and all the evil people that we have in Pasuk Aleph. And then, Asei Tov, Torah Hashem Katzo, so this is what you should end up doing. That's the idea behind it. The idea, the Mishalem that everybody used for this, in Mishlei, it goes through, it's talking about gems, that if somebody had gems throughout his pocket, he'd constantly be checking over them and trying to see what he has. That's how a person should feel for Torah itself, that's the way it should be, and that's that. If a person learns Torah at night, as we all know, a Chut Shel Chesed goes over him during the day, which allows them to become better for other people, etc., and stuff like that. Fine. New. And like a tree that is planted by streams of water, it gives its fruit off in the proper time, and its leaves will not wither, because it has a stream, a source of something that will help it grow, that allows for everything that he does is going to be matzliach. Okay, so we have success over here. What are the three successes that happen to this person who learns Torah, this guy over here? Says David HaMelech, the three successes are, number one, planted by streams of water is going to be the children that surround you. The financial success is that it brings forth fruit in its season. And general success is that everything that he does is going to be matzliach. That's the idea behind it. Just as a tree basically lives forever in our minds, even though obviously it's only for hundreds or maybe thousands of years, it looks like trees last forever. So too, the person who keeps away from evil and does good will be like a tree that it's as if it lives forever. That's the idea behind it. Okay, and that's that. And obviously there's stuff about L'shem Shemayim over here, and that's that. The leaves not withering could also refer to supporters, those that are supporting Torah, that the leaves should not wither. Along with this, we have the famous line in Tainus, if everybody remembers, Elon, Elon, Bamo Avarechah, how can I bless you? Right, and he blessed it that it should be, you should continue doing what you have, and that your children should have the same thing over here. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Everybody remember Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch? He's one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
He was the greatest one.
According to that one shot, right, that brings down, he was the greatest of the five Talmidim, that if you put all of the other Talmidim on one part of the scale, right, he was on the other side of the scale, he would weigh down all the Talmidim, including Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus. At the end of the day, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch lost all of his learning. He drank from the Maya de Dormaskis, which basically meant he went on vacation for a little bit too long, and was too involved in the times of Al-Hazah and lost almost everything that he had.
Because he went to a town to become the leader of a town that had no Torah in it.
You know, that's the vort that they give. But he drunk from the Mayan to Damascus. It's not there. It's in Shabbos. Right?
But the mission of Bergelis says that he went to go become the rabbi of a town that didn't have Torah.
No, that's not him. That's Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma in the fifth parak. Yeah. Check it out. The little detour and whatever it is. It might be in the beginning of the sixth parak.
Disney version?
Oh, no, check it out here. I forgot what the name is. It's Rabbi Yossi ben something or other. But Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, when he used to give advice, and he was always successful, everything he said ended up working out. You know they say about Lubav Sharabah, that many of his consent, he told them what to do, and they were all successful. That they were all matzliach, unbelievably matzliach, and the money that Lubav Sharabah had comes from the Rebbe's blessing, in which everything he said was, that the eights were unbelievable. So it's very similar to this idea of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. They told him, you're a prophet, you're a Navi. He said, I'm not a Navi, nor am I a son of a Navi. But I have a Mesorah that it was given over, that anything that you do L'shem Shemayim, if you give eight of L'shem Shemayim, comes true in the end. As another line, at the very end, I asked for the first ones. I give eights to people. How can I daven? When's the best time for me to daven that these eights are good? He told me to daven at the beginning of Hashkivenu, B'sakenenu, B'eitza Tova Milfanecha. He said there's a Mesorah that he has, that if you concentrate during those lines, you'll be able to give good eitza. Sakenenu, B'eitza Tova Milfanecha, by Hashkivenu. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. They're like chaff that's blown away by the wind itself. That the tzaddikim are like trees firmly planted in the ground, while the rishayim are like chaff. They blow around, and what that means is that their motives are different. They're willing to go this way, and then they go that way. If this is popular, they do this, and if that's popular, they do that. Whatever the people do, they're willing to go into that way and just keep doing what everything is. That's the idea behind it. So some say that would be more free. They're free to do whatever they want. They're not restricted by anything whatsoever. But the truth is, they're not free. They're subjugated to their own tithes, their own whims that they think are their own, but is really brought by the people around them. You see it? Sorry, it might be in the beginning of Perek Shishi. You see it, yeah. Okay. Therefore, the Rishayim will not be able to stand up in judgment. The Chatayim will not be able to be among the Tzadikim themselves. There's no way it's going to happen. Meaning, the Rishayim are not going to be able to stand when they're judged individually. The Chatayim, the people are just doing it out of passion, out of taiva, whatever it is, they at least have a little bit of an excuse. They'll survive a little bit. The Rishayim will not be able to survive at all. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the ways of the righteous, and the ways of the Rishayim, unfortunately, are never going to be able to go anywhere. It's just not going to happen. Okay, in a sense, the Rishayim are going to be lost forever, even after death. After death, there's no way for them to be able to fix up. It's all gone. It's going to be gone forever, unfortunately, and that's that. All right, Parak Beis. Now, this deals with Shmuel Beis Parak Hay. what happens in Shmuel Beis Tarkei. Lamarok Shagun Lomum Yagurik. He says, why are all the nations going crazy? All the nations getting up and speaking out these empty words over here. Now, the obvious idea is going to be when all these, you know, at the end of day, when they're yearning for redemption, and all the nations of the world are screaming.
But the question was one who didn't go with that.
Correct.
No, but there was a story somewhere that
that's story.
Did go. No, it was somebody who did go there. Maybe it was a prince or those who
went around. Chavez.
Right, so maybe that's.
But I don't think it says that
when he went and he drank from that, maybe it's like, maybe what I learned it was that, unfortunately, he went.
That's possible that there's some other that it became like a Rebbe there. But I don't think that's straight out in the Gemara. I think that might be a shot in the Gemara. But the answer is that he drank.
I remember I went to a shir that contrasted Rebbe Yosef ben Kisma to Rebbe Elazar ben Arach.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it was just their different paths in life led to why Rebbe Elazar ben Arach went down.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. If anything, it's from that Gemara and Chavez. Shabbos. I think it's Nun Gimel, something like that. It might be something like that. All right, anyway, but that's that. For the David and Melch wanted to inspire them, etc., right, with Mashiach and David, and that's what's happening. So why are the Goyim going so crazy? Another way of looking at it is when the Plishtim heard of the appointment of David and Melch and they came to wage war. All the people are going crazy now that I just became king, said David and Melch. Why are they going so crazy? Why are they trembling and like screaming out loud and speaking out their empty words against me over here? That's the idea. You see, all those kings of the land are gathering together. All the princes or the rulers are speaking secrets to one another about Hashem and about His anointed one. Again, this could be in the future, referring to Mashiach. It could be right then, referring to the anointed one, referring to David HaMelech. Right? That's the idea behind it. So you should know, throughout the Gemaras, whenever you see the muscle of a raging sea of waves, that refers to the nations of the world. The boat that goes through those seas is always referring to Jewish people that survive the waves that are going around there, especially in Mochor Zasfina when you go through the Bava Basra Gemara as it goes through there. So that's the roar, the rugshu, so to speak, as if they're the seas coming to swallow up everything there, but the waves will not be able to go through there. Obviously, those are the two pshatim over here. I guess people can understand that through there. Ninatka is most of the same what they say. We're going to tear their bonds away from us. All of their cords we're going to throw away from us. Now, if it's referring to the Plishtim, it refers to just simply put, we're going to destroy their mitzvahs. We're going to take away tefillin, which is their bonds. Their cords refer to the tzitzis. I'm going to get rid of all their tefillin, their tzitzis, their mitzvahs, all these stupid mitzvahs that they do. I'm going to be able to destroy them completely. If not, if you could also say referring to the bonds of unity. I'm going to get rid of their achdus. I'm going to make sure that they hate each other, and then I could start want to be on their side. If we're referring to the future, then it would be the line of Hitler, Yimach Shemo. Hitler's famous line, in which the reason why he hates the Jews is because it gave the rest of the world a conscience. I don't want the Jews to make me feel like I can't do whatever I want to do. That famous line, right in Mein Kampf, that's the idea of Ninatka's Moser Seinu. He doesn't quote that over here, but he says something so similar to it. I figured this is the idea behind it. Yoshev Hashem Yitzchak, what does the one up in heaven do? He laughs. The word Yitzchak is not Yitzchak, but rather a schok. He laughs at them. Hashem Yilag Lamo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mocks them, right? In other words, looks at them, staring up at the skies, trying to see what's going to be in the future, trying to predict what's going to be, and not realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. Therefore, he speaks to her at that point. And he speaks to them in his anger, and he terrifies them with his absolute rage, with all the evil that is out there. I am going to make my prince. I am going to put my anointed one on Sion, my holy mountain over here. Who's this referring to? Obviously, it could be referring to David Melech or possibly Shlomo Melech, right? And obviously, it could refer to Mashiach as well. I see no difference. Meaning, going through this tell him, I really don't know if David Melech really meant it for himself or referring to Mashiach at the end of days. I will tell of the law of God. Amar Eli, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Bini Ata, you are my son. Ani Hayom Yoledeticha. I gave birth to you on this day. There was a point when David Melech had become king where everything changed. Although David Melech was a great tzaddik, he was a very, very big Talmud Chacham or something of that line, at least a chassid, we'll call him. Right? At the time that he became king, something different happened to him. He felt like there was a different world by him, and he got this Ruach HaKodesh that he had never had before. We find that clearly by Shaul HaMelech. When Shaul HaMelech was anointed, he started being among the prophets. prophets, to which the people started saying to each other, Hagam Shol Benevim? That was like a catchphrase. Is even Shol a prophet? That was like when something crazy happens. They would say, that was their phrase, like, oh, that's so crazy. They would say, Hagam Shol Benevim. That's what they would say, even if it wasn't dealing with Shol HaMelech directly. But David HaMelech, it happened to him as well. David HaMelech was humble in his own eyes, but he had been turned into something a little bit different. And that's what he means, Asapro Kol Kashem, now I'm going to be able to tell over the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The famous line over here as well is, that I gave birth to on this day. This is the source, the original source of where we give gifts to people on their birthday. Look what it says. I gave birth to you on this day. Ask for me something, and I will give you goyim as your inheritance. That's where it comes from. The idea of giving that gift. I will make the ends of the earth as your possession. So now when you give a gift to somebody on his birthday, right, it might actually be a kiyum of this pasuk over here, pasuk ches over here in Perek Beis. You'll break them, these other people over here, with a shevet barzel, with an iron staff. That's going to be assuring victory. Kichli yotzer, right, the potter's vessel, cannot say you're going to crush them. So when you take like a big thing of pottery, smash it down to the ground, and it goes into a billion pieces, that's what's going to happen over here. It's going to smash it down into a little bit of pieces. It could be this referring to taking the metal and putting it against the kli yotzer, right? That's what you're doing. But either way, now kings, be wise. Take muster, all the judges of the land itself. You should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of trembling, and have simcha, and rejoice within that trembling. Now this is the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos asks, what does that mean? That makes no sense. Either you're going to act with fear, out of Yiras Hashem, or you're going to be the simcha. How could it be the way? And this is the famous line where Rava used to start a shir with a little bit of, he would make a joke, and then he would start the shir itself. That's the idea behind it. It's within the trembling, within the Yira that you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there should also be joy, there should be simcha and real devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to do. That's the idea. Bis simcha, says the Maimonides, is the same letters as machshava, that a person should think his way through and rejoice when he's really in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to also have that simcha there as well. Nashkuvar, we should nashkuvar means we should drink in purity. Penyana, fesov dudarach, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be angry and you'll perish upon the road. Kivar kimatapo, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can destroy with only a little bit of his wrath. Ashrei kohosibo, happy are all those who take refuge in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking the people to accept the Mashiach. That doesn't mean if a guy gets up in the middle of nowhere and just says, like, I'm the Mashiach, he has to automatically be like, done. Right? That's not what you do. The guy does need the prereqs.
100% of every single person who's ever done that has been a random guy.
Unfortunately, yeah. No, it would have to be somebody who's already known. Like, somebody like Rav Chaim Kanievsky would have to get up one day and just say, like, I'm Mashiach. That would have to be.
But
you know,
even
like
then, you would still need, it wouldn't be like,
very big questionable. I mean, listen, if the Lubavitcher Rebbe did that, did they accept
it? He himself never.
The people, whatever it is, whatever he did, right? Clearly, if a great gadol gets up and says it, maybe then we would accept it in a certain way. We'd say, like, you know what? That's what we hear. You know, Ravad Yosef, before he passed away, would get up and say something like that. People probably would have listened. The cash is, he obviously wasn't.
Well, if there ever was somebody who had a largest percentage of Jews who would have listened if he had said something like that, he probably would have been the person.
Yeah, sure, this percentage.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's a crazy little line, but that is the idea. Once Mashiach has been shown to be the actual Mashiach, for whatever sign HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us, that we have to accept it. We have to be makabel that that's the person in charge. At the end, you also notice there are those that say that the first and second parak of Tehillim, it's not those that say, it's a Gemara in Brachos that says that the first and second parak of Tehillim are the same prakin, and it starts and ends with Ashrei. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu said about Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech said that every mizmor that I start and end with Ashrei is a mizmor that I feel is beloved. There's only one other like this, so it's a little bit strange, but that's that. They say that the Torah is like that as well. Bereishis has the letters Ashrei in it. There's an extra Beis and a Tav. The letters Yisrael, which is the last letters of the Torah, also has Ashrei in it. There's an extra Lamed altogether. So technically it begins and ends with Ashrei as well. Alright, Tarek Gimel. Mizmor David Baruch Hu Shalom Beno. Obviously we know this is referring to, this is the song that David HaMelech sang when he was running away from Avshalom his son. This is at the age of 67/68, right? Moshe, obviously David HaMelech died at the age of 70, right? But he remained faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His faith remained just as it was, even when Avshalom drove him from his throne and pursued him, even though 2 years from now, 3 years from now, Shlomo was supposed to become king, even then he still had hope. He still had hope of what was going to be over here.
Why is it a song?
So why is it called the Mizmor? So that's the kasha that's asked by the Gemara itself. It should have been Kina. Kina L'David, right? So Rav Shimon ben Avi Shalom, interesting, right? Rav Shimon ben Avi Shalom gives the vort, and he says the following, as a side note, by the way, it's written as Avshalom in the Gemara. On the side, it changes to Avi Shalom, right? So it's an interesting thing in itself.
What Yogel of Avshalom or something?
It's very possible. It's always interesting that you see sometimes from the names of random Tanaim and Amoraim that don't normally appear, where they talk about something, and it seems to be in their name.
Could it be that they were just named because of the saying that they said?
The Hasidim would say that their name hinted to their tachlis in life, and that
right, but it also could be that they were given that name, like, oh, you know, the
so
rabbi's
real father. His father wasn't really Avi Shalom; he was just known as Ben Avi Shalom.
I mean, so he's the one who said the drush.
Very possible.
Shalom.
Yeah. Again, now you're getting the chassidish part of you coming out. That's right. That's it. By the way, Rav Shimon Ben Avi Shalom said, "You know what this compared to? To a man who had to repay an outstanding debt. Before he paid it, he was sad, but after he paid it, he was happy." Governor Melech was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm going to up against you. This because of what David Melech did wrong. I forgot what was it that he did wrong.
He counted his people.
I forgot it was. Oh, I think it was Bathsheba. That's correct. Once he killed Uriah, Nathan and Abi told him
died.
That was one thing. Nathan and Abi told him, "I'm going to raise up somebody against you." Yeah, Perek Yud Beis. That's exactly that. Right by Bathsheba. So he said, "Oy, maybe it's going to be your Eved. Maybe it's going to be a mom's who's not going to have rachamim on me and not have rachamim on my children." When he saw there was Avshalom, he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Baruch Hashem, it's my son. In the end, he's going to have mercy on me." That's the idea behind it. Another idea, right? There's another idea over here. Achitofel was the one who advised Avshalom to do everything he did against David HaMelech. That was Achitofel, the grandfather, great grandfather, technically, of Bathsheba, right?
Yeah,
in the end,
so with the Gemara, he was 35 when he died, or 34 when he died.
33, right? Whatever. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is very, very difficult.
I give him 36 because
I'm right? Great grandfather. But it's strange. We do have the kids. It is strange, though. You're 100% right. Hushai Ha'arki. Hushai Ha'arki is the one who foiled Avshalom's plan. He was sent by David HaMelech back to Avshalom to act as a guy to be able to go. And Hushai told him, "No, don't fight him now. Fight him a little bit later." He sent messages over to David HaMelech. It's crazy. This was the time on that night when Avshalom was sitting in the palace and David HaMelech had run away. When we learned the line, "Afilu cherev chad munachas al tzavar shel al yimna atzum v'nerachim," even if the sharp sword of the enemy is upon your neck, still never stop davening. Because on that night, he mamish was going to die. Hushai Ha'arki was able to get him right there. Chazal tell us that this was more terrible, what happened in his household, than Gog and Magog. Gog, the king of Magog. This is even worse than that. That's that. So some say that this is really a Thanksgiving prayer after he had been saved from Avshalom, after he had already run away from Avshalom, and therefore it's the Mizmor over here. What were you going to say, Leon?
But wait, just because his son rebelled against him, that made it worse than Gog and Magog?
You're meaning to you, when you have troubles in your house, that's worse than the war of Gog and Magog. That's also Gemara and Brachos, I believe, Dachas or Dachas over here. That's that. He was troubled. That's another thing that has to do with this itself, and that's that. Let's go into Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. Hashem ma rabu tzarai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how many are my adversaries? Rabin kamu alai. Many people have risen against me. Now this refers to Achitofel and Doeg. Doeg Adomi, right, who was with Shaul HaMelech, and Achitofel. When I first became king, Shaul HaMelech was against me, and Doeg Adomi was trying to kill me, and all those people on that side, Avner tried to kill me. All those people that were on that side were trying to kill me with all of his men. Now I became king, and now toward the end of my life, now Avshalom is coming to kill me. It's crazy. There's so many tzaras that have happened in my lifetime. It has not been an easy thing altogether. Now granted, this is not including everything that happened in the middle with Tamar and Amnon, right, together with all the issues with he lost a child from Bathsheba, right? All the different issues that happened in his lifetime. It's crazy tzaras. Rabin Mamil and Afshain Yeshua Salav Elohim Selah. There are many people saying about my soul that I have no salvation at Kodesh Baruch Hu Selah. It serves him right, people are saying, because he killed Uriah Hiti and what he did with Bathsheba. It serves him right for the different things that he had done. But unbelievable, right? Ein Yeshua Salav Elohim. He has no salvation in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the name of Elohim, meaning in Midas Adin. Midas Adin will not be able to help them. They don't know, he said, they don't realize that Yudke Vavke is the shield. He's the shield for me. He's going to be my glory. He's going to lift up my head forever. literally, but it's used sort of colloquially. It's just sort of like fellow, like that's how it should be.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not like it doesn't have a real translation, but it technically means forever.
Right? In the art school, they just write Sella.
Sella.
Exclamation
yeah.
point.
Over here also. Over here also. Almost all of them say the exact same thing. It, there could be. Is this the first time we saw Sella? It could be there is somebody on the side. What do you report?
Forever.
Forever.
Targum says Alamin.
Yeah,
and
Ibn Ezra.
No, Targum says
La'almin. So that's forever, right. So that's normally how they translate it as La'ad. But it's just a nice thing. What's up?
I'm a little surprised that David's surprised about all these things that are going on in his life,
right.
Bad things, because they were all consequences, more or less, of things that he did, with the exception of Saul disliking him because he didn't have a choice. He was anointed by Shmuel. That wasn't his
doing. You're saying. So at the
but
end of the day,
else, there was an effect
of his actions, right? See, there could be that he was just doing tshuva so much, so therefore it shouldn't have been this bad. Like David Melech was the epitome of tshuva, always singing, always davening, always said. So maybe he thought, like, what? I should have been forgiven. I'm doing tshuva in the
album. Which one's separate?
But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying.
Separate issue.
I don't know where they get it from, but the Medrash brings down here about the six-pointed shield of David HaMelech from Magen Ba'adi. I don't know where they get it from. They claim that the 6 points are Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron Yosef. Obviously, he's the seventh of the seven who Spizen, and that's the famous, you know, Jewish star that he held that six-pointed shield. Where that comes from, where that originally stems from, I don't know. I can't tell you. They quote it from a Medrash, but it is not in the Medrash Rabbah. Maybe it's a Medrash Shulchan Aruch Tov, right, on Tehillim. I don't know where it is, but he quotes it over here that's what it refers to. I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yaneni me'HaKadosh Sela. He calls out to me, or he answers me back from his holy mountain, Sela. Right, that's the idea. That holy mountain is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. That's the Har HaMoriah, where he had always set it up. He had already bought it from Arvani Yevusi, and he decided that was where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. And the Pshat is over here, it's even before I call out. I will call out. He didn't call out yet. I didn't daven yet. V'yaneni. And he still answered me before I even had to call out. And he shakab. I lie down and I slept. Hakitzosi, and then I awoke. Hashem Yismacheni. Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains me. I'm not afraid to go to sleep at night. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me when I go to sleep at night. Everybody else, they dare to go to sleep. Who knows? The enemy might come already, right? So when they do go to sleep, they wake up at every little thing. Oh, that might be my enemy. Oh, that might be my enemy. When I go to sleep, I go to sleep. I don't sleep much because I learn a lot. But when I go to sleep, I have no problem with it whatsoever. He probably was really exhausted also. But he had no problem with getting down.
He wouldn't go to sleep.
What?
We know at the end of his life he wouldn't go to sleep, right?
No, he surrounded his bed with what's it called? The Shishim Giborim Saviblo to stay away from Pachat Balelos.
Shlomo.
No, there's Davinim. Oh, Shlomo. You're right. Yeah, so what does that mean? Wait, why couldn't he sleep? Shlomo, you're right.
He's going to get him, right?
Oh, no, that's that he learned all day. He knew on Shavuos that he was supposed to die. On Shabbos Shavuos, he knew that he was supposed to die. So he that whole day, he made sure that he wouldn't sleep. He learned straight, and that's when he tried to get him. It's interesting, by the way. It says over here, Bo'ishana, Hakitzosi, I had to be woken up. Why do you have to be woken up here, but not any other time? Because normally, he would wake up from the harp that was above his bed. No, but that's not bad. No, he never slept that way, right? Hakitzosi, he was able to wake up from the harp that was above his bed from the Gemara and Brachos and Davdalit. But here, he was on the run. He didn't have his harp. He had no way. His alarm clock wasn't there. He had nothing to plug it into, right? So that's that. So that's the idea behind it. Hushai Arki might have warned him in the middle of the night that he has to run. Lo yiram miruvos am. I'm not afraid of the thousands of people, tens of thousands of people. Asher savi shasu olai that are going against me. I have no problem that tens of thousands of people all of a sudden started following up Shalom. I'm not worried about that whatsoever. Kuma shemoshini elokai. Get up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me like a kiki. Says kol avaylechi. You should smack all of my enemies upon the cheek. Shinu rishon shibarta and break down the teeth of the enemy. Some people learn from this. There's a reference to Og Melech HaBashan, whose teeth were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu, that the enemies should be destroyed in such a way. That's the idea behind it. It is amazing. If tens of thousands of people were against David Melech, can you imagine what happened when Avshalom lost? And David Melech came back into power? Tens of thousands of people are against him. Right, where David Melech is just like, I'm king again, guys. And he was like, yeah, about that. I don't know what would be in that,
like,
that situation.
How do you look at Syria now?
Mm-hmm.
Bashar Assad.
I try not to.
It's making a bit of a comeback now. What's going to happen to all the people who rebelled against him?
I think we know.
Time to come inside power.
I don't mean to say it this way, but yes, that's one way of getting rid of most of them.
Right, so I'm just saying that...
I definitely hear you.
Assuming, and we know that Governor Ellis has ruthless.
But no, I mean, not even that. Governor Ellis didn't even kill Shimi Ben Gera.
Right.
He didn't even kill Yoav, even though they went against him so many times.
He gave amnesty. So clearly, he wants it. That's also a way to bring everybody together.
And even, what's his name? Even Uri Achiti, he wouldn't kill himself. He made others kill. When he went to war, he was ruthless. But in his rebellers, people rebel.
You unify everybody by forgiving everybody with the start and rebels.
Yeah, that makes sense. In order to make sure, let's do what we can. I mean, he was 68 at the time. Hashem Yeshua, for Hashem, that's the salvation. Your blessing is upon your people forever and will remain that way completely. Whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do, he davened for all those people who were there. He davened that none of them should fall in battle. It seems that nobody died in the battle against Avshalom's army, that Avshalom died very early in the battle and then everybody just stopped. That's what it seems, and that did help everybody. So now, Lamnatzeach, again a singer, Lamnatzeach, for the conductor, literally, right? Biniginos, there's instrumental music that's being used over here, a song for David HaMelech itself. The Radak says that the Menatzeach was the one in charge of the singers, which makes sense. That's the conductor, right? That's what they call it by an orchestra, right? And everything was done by the director of a conductor. So somehow he made a real song out of this. Vakari Aneni Elokei Tzidki. Answer me when I call, the God of my righteousness. In my distress, I want you to make it open for me. Chanini, grant me favor, please listen to my prayers over here. Okay, this may be, again, reference to help me against Achitophel. Achitophel was a very, very brilliant individual. His word was like the words of a Navi back in those days. So possibly he's davening, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to be answered and allow everything to happen well. Oh, sons of men, how long will my glory be put to shame? To Abun Rik, how long will you love nothingness? To Vakshu Kazim, will you search for lies? Selah. The truth is, it looks like it's going to happen for a long, long time. He said, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense that you're dishonoring others and getting honor that way. Take honor for yourselves from what you do, not from other people knocking down. So there's no reason, and there's no reason to come up against me. Why are you looking for falsehoods, right, in order to knock me down and to go around? That makes no sense, and this seems to be, again, a line to Achitophel. What are you doing? Why are you trying to take me down? Know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has set apart the Kifla, the Chassid, for himself. Hashem Yishma B'Kari Yalav. God will listen when I call out to him. Now this is the idea. David HaMelech knows he's going to be answered. This is his self-assurance that he had built himself up to the point where he knows if he davens, he's going to be answered. That's what he's okay with. Pasuk K. Rigzu V'Altechatou. Tremble. Do not sin anymore. Imru Bovavchem say this to your hearts while you're upon your bed and then be silent forever and ever. And that's the idea behind it. So Rigzu Alto, this whole line, if you remember, is a reference to Kriya Shema Lamita. How you're supposed to Imru Bovavchem Al Mishkatem. Say Al Levavecha on your bed. Midomu, and then go to sleep. Selah. That's the idea behind it over here. Okay, so that's the idea to say Shema.
The Mishnah that says you don't have to lay down when you're saying Shema.
No, I think it's don't and then lie down. Oh, I'll miss
just means
go to sleep on your bed. I hear what you're saying. I thought on your bed, you should sit on your bed.
Be silent.
No, you need Al Mishkatzen. Aren't you learning from that?
No, it says you said you move above Al Mishkatzen. Say in your heart, being Shema, Al Mishkatzen,
on
your bed. But you don't have to be on your bed.
Oh, I hear you. I just thought it meant that you're sitting on your bed and then vidomu and then go to sleep. I hear you. It's not a rye either way. Okay, it could be. And listen, there were people that used to lie down and say Kriya Shema Lamita. Rabbi Yochanan was a bowel buster, so he lied on his side as he did it. But the Gemara says you can't lie down on your back in order to say Kriya Shema Lamita. It's got to be on your side if you're bigger, right? Or sitting up straight.
But you can't actually lie down.
Yeah.
Meaning, just to show you're not holding like Beit Shammai, right? Isn't there a
good one? Oh, that's another issue. Right. That's another issue. Kriya Shema Lamita. You're talking about Kriya Shema in the Erev. That's the full three paragraphs. This is Kriya Shema Lamita. Different issue. That's the other thing.
It's the same. I mean, the mitzvah of Shema at night is the mitzvah of Shema at night.
Yes and no. No. The mitzvah, you're right. This is not an issue of the mitzvah itself. What they're saying over here is that Rigzuvat HaChatov, and what this is all talking about, it's a Gemara in Hamad Beis, I believe, in Brachos, to help you with this. Is it Hamad Beis?
Hamad Aleph.
What are you supposed to be angry about?
No, it's Rigzu trembled Alta HaChatov, and then
well,
you won't
pay. Well, it's Hamad Beis and Hamad Aleph.
This is referring to, the Rigzu is referring to killing the demons through your Kriya Shema Lamita. There's two issues here. There's the Chiv of Kriya Shema during the day, which you have one Chiv in the morning, one Chiv in the evening. That's one. You have another Chiv of saying Kriya Shema Lamita, which is a different issue.
Chiyuv is a strong word.
I don't know if it says the word chai. If you might be right, it might say the word mitzvah. I don't remember the wording exactly. So you don't have the little thing over there. Where is it? Hey, I'm an owl. And the other things that are over there, okay? But that's that. But the line is that the reason why it's to destroy the destroyers, whatever's out there in the world, you're getting rid of them. That's that. There is another thing that says, I was speaking of your greatness in your heart. When I was together with Bathsheba, I never had bad things in my head. Whatever the Svara process, the thought process of David Melech was with Bathsheba, which is questionable in our minds to begin with, David Melech is trying to say, that's not what I wanted. It wasn't purely out of title. That's what he's trying to say over here. That's another way of looking at this. Pasuk Vav, Zivchu Zivchei Tzedek, offer the korbanos of Tzedekin, Ubitcho Hashem, and put your trust in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He's addressing the enemies who align themselves with King Saul, right, and saying, listen, everything's been taken care of by now, it's all over. That's the idea behind it. There's an interesting little muscle over here, but we're going to skip it for now. Rabbi, many people have said, Mi'arenu Tov, who's going to show us the good? Nisa Aleinu Or Panach Hashem. Lift up the light upon us, right, of your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's unbelievable. In their desire for Avshalom to win, they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, if only David HaMelech would die. If only David HaMelech would die and it would be gone, and we could see the Or Panecha Hashem, they mamish felt that David HaMelech was the reason why they weren't getting the base of Mikdash, why bad things were happening to them. It's because of David HaMelech. If only he would be gone, that's the idea. Another way of learning is that the nations of the world, Rabin Omrin, is the nations of the world come along and say, right, Mi'arenu Tov, if only we could get the good that the Jews get in Olam Haba. If only we could take on that good that they get over there. To which they say, the Jews answer back in the Medrash, obviously, that do you know how much death and suffering and punishment we have to go through in this world in order to deserve what we have in Olam Haba? You can only get that if you're willing to take on that punishment. You can't have both. That's the idea behind it. You put gladness in my heart since at the time when their grain and their wine increase, even when the other nations or the other people, my enemies, start increasing and things are good by them and they're good, even then I have gladness in my heart because I know you're on my side and now you know you're willing to go, you're willing to do whatever I need to do over here. That's the idea behind. So in peace, the idea behind it, in peace, Yachtov, together, Eshkevav Yishon, I will go to sleep and I will slumber. That's the line over here. Because you are Kadosh Baruch Hu alone, Levetzoshiveni, allow me to dwell in absolute security over here. You're going to allow me to be over here. He longing for peace and saying that that's the idea behind it. And this is also a hint that every time that I go to sleep, I am assured and I have no problem. I forgive every single one of my enemies and I say to myself that anything that somebody might have done to, anything that he might have done to wrong me, I forgive them and I take care of them completely. There's an interesting story of the Rambam. I never heard this Rambam over here. When he went to Yerushalayim and he saw all the plentiful fruits, okay, so he was anguished to see the land giving of its fruit to other people that weren't Jewish. So he went to the Western Wall, went to the Kosel, right, and he said, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, you're like a nursing mother whose own son is taken ill. To keep the milk from spoiling, she's compelled to nurse other children until the time when her own child will be healed and resume feeding. Right, that's what it ends up doing. So too are you, all you Yerushalayim. So long as your sons were with you, you fed them out of your great abundance. But now you're continuing to feed others, that means you're keeping it around for your children to come back. That's what the Rambam said. I never heard that story before.
But that goes against, doesn't it say that Israel only blooms?
That's what I thought also, that it looks terrible when the other nations are there. Maybe something.
Doesn't it say that there always needs to be some presence in Israel to keep away the wild animals?
Might be. Remember, this is, it's Rambam. Not the Rambam, my dad, when it said that the Ramban. If the Ramban came in, that's 1200s to early 1300s. That's one time before. Anyway, Parakei, let's go. Lamentechel and Achilos, Mizmo David. So these are flutes, and Achilos are the flutes over here. And this way, he's trying to say the following. So the last two were obviously against Avshalom, or what he wanted to do over here. Here he's asking for assistance, for divine assistance, right, and retribution against the wicked. Well, everything is good about that. Now, others say Nechilos refers to armies. Nechilos is a swarm of bees. Is that what it's called? Nechil Zvuvim or Nechol? I'm not sure, but he says over here it's swarming bees, right? And that's that. What he was worried about is that people were surrounding him, saying terrible things about him, about what he had done and bad things that he had during his lifetime. But that's what was happening over here. Amariah Dina Hashem, my words, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bina Agigi, listen not only to my words, though, listen to my thoughts itself. There's a famous line, Yilor Tzani Mareisi V'Yigilni B'Lifanecha. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart, right, Libi L'Fanecha Hashem Tzuri V'Gali. We don't only ask for our words to be there, because sometimes our words might say something, but our thoughts are elsewhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to what we really want. Try to pay attention to what our thoughts are, and read our thoughts, even if we're not saying what really is proper. Hashiv L'Kol Shavi, listen to the voice of my cries, Malki V'Lai, Ki Elach Hasbawa, because I'm really crying to you, right? And that's the idea behind it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to be involved. It's one thing for the doctor to just prescribe me medicine. It's another thing for the doctor to take interest in my case, to pull me in, sit me down, look at me, and be able to say, you need this, that, and the other. That's what I want over here. I want it to be done as if you are being involved over here. I need you directly involved. So Hashem Boker Tishmakali, in the morning, listen to my voice, Boker Arach L'Chabat. In the morning, I will set my prayer in front of you, and I look forward to seeing it granted. I want to know what's going to be over here. Our Kaddish Baruch Hu, first, David HaMelech said, he was a chassid, right? So the chassidim used to wait an hour before davening, and then an hour after davening. That's why he says over here, Hashem Boker Tishmakali, Boker Arach L'Cha, I'm going to set it up for you. In other words, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to prepare myself, and then eventually I'm going to daven you, and I look forward, I'll spend some time afterward waiting for my prayer to be answered to see what's going to be over here. That's the idea behind it over here. So that's what he has. You're not a God who desires evil. No evil even it comes within you. Obviously you don't want the wicked to prosper. You don't want the wicked to be involved over here. That's that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with the evil itself. So he's basically, what he's doing is condemning them, saying there's no reason for them whatsoever. Pasuk Vav, Lo Yisiatzku Hololin Lenegnei Necha. The Hololin, what are the Hololin? The revelers, party goers, whatever it is, they will not stand opposite your eyes. Sanesim 11, all those who do evil, you absolutely despise. You can't stand what these people are doing. And I know this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no way that you want these party guys to be able to succeed the way they are. You should destroy those that speak out these lies. Hashem despises a man of blood and falsehood and everything like that. In other words, insincerity. You hate the fact that people are not sincere about what they hold or what they do over here. And the Damim and Mirma is that they spill blood by embarrassing people, murdering people, by doing terrible things, and then they do trickery and say, like, oh, that wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're referring to. That's the damim u'mirma. And it was never my intention. I never meant to malign anyone or to knock somebody down. That's not what I meant. But by me, what do I do? Barov chaskal bo besecha. And out of your great chesed, I am able to come to your house. Eshtachav al hechol kodesh kol b'yoretzecha. I bow down to your hechol kodesh out of fear of you. It's an amazing line over here that even when David Melech wanted to go somewhere else, he found himself into the Beis HaMikdash. Bowing is an act of submission and self-abasement, as if I'm not worth anything whatsoever. That's what bowing means. I know our bows nowadays are a little bit of a whatever, something like that. But really, the way of bowing in which you're submitting yourself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, putting your entire body on the floor in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is a way of absolute submission, to show that you are nothing in front of the people right over there. David also says, when you come into the palace of a king of flesh and blood, you're supposed to be afraid. But, and we talked about this before, once you're inside, that fear somewhat dissipates. Because you're already in there. You're getting used to being around the king itself. No longer are you held with fear. But I'm different, said David HaMelech. Every time I walk into your house, even when I'm in your house, I'm filled with fear. I'm filled with that yira. Now again, it's gilu berada. I'm happy that I have the ability to be so in awe of you. But he kept that awe even at those times when he goes in. And this is a pasuk that we're supposed to say every time you walk into a shul. But do you do that when you walk into shul?
I don't.
I think it's in a siddur. It is in our siddurim, but not in the Arsukot. The Arsukot don't put it in. Yeah, they do put it in. But you're supposed to say that Matovu, you mean?
I'm sorry, Matovu.
Yeah.
I don't say Matovu.
So do you have any Baruch Chassidah though?
The Pizmonim and some people who like get up like an hour before davening say, but
and they go through Chassidim. Hasidim.
Well, our Hasidim, they expect from us.
Of course. No, of course. You
know.
Oh, you mean that Hasidim? I don't mean that. I mean no, Hasidim is
involved.
Not Hasidim. The Hasidim she yid. Yeah. I mean, I mean them also, but like, you know, not all of them. Pasuk Tes. Hashem nechini betzidkosecha. Hashem lead me out of your tzidkos, l'man sh'roi, you know, because of those that lie in wait for me. Shiloh and I just said, make your way straight in front of me, that I have the ability to do everything that I need to do in the right way. So that's the idea behind it. It's the way of the Yitzhara to be able to do everything in the, you know, even in the crooked path, to make it a little bit straight. So here we go. Listen to this mushel over here. He's asking that he doesn't want to stumble by wrongdoing, that blemishing his good deeds. So listen to this mushel. Poor man was to give his daughter's hand away in marriage to a very wealthy man, and he prepared simple garments to wear at the wedding. On the way there, the wedding party stopped at an inn, and his garments were stolen. He's beside himself with anguish over the loss, whereupon the wealthy father of the groom said to him, "Don't worry, I've got other clothes for you." At the wedding feast, the father of the bride was still very upset at the loss of his wedding garments. So he said to him, "Why are you upset? Had the father of the groom seen the garments that you were planning on wearing, he would have said, like, whoa, what's this guy wearing? He would have thrown you out immediately. I mean, he would have worn that, you know, tux with like the little puffy shirt and little, like, little things around. You're like, you never would have had anything like that. The sash belt, whatever it is, right? You would have worn the cummerbund. That's right. You would have had that, right? They would have looked at you. It would have been ridiculous. At least now, it's better for you now that they never saw you in those garments." So that's what David Melech is saying. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his deeds be without blemish. So the Malachim will then see his good deeds in the mitzvahs that he fulfilled and will be looked upon with favor. But it's better, right, sometimes that those things are missed, so to speak, the other blemishes that make them look a little bit better. He's dressed up in God's garments instead, the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Came to Piyunachona, because there is no sincerity in them about these people over here. So again, these are the enemies. Kirpam Avos, their innards are filled with garbage. Kavra Pesuach Ronam, their throats are like open graves, Loshon Yachlikun, their tongues very slippery, willing to say certain things and to be gone completely. Very devious, these types of people. Hashimein, Halokim. Knock them down, make them guilty, Hashem. Yiplu mimoatzoseim, they should fall by their own counsels. Knock them down out of all their sins, Kimorovach, because they've rebelled against you. And that's Roshayim going down by their own hashkacha, by what they do on their own traps. The Yisrael calls Yivach. Everybody who takes refuge in you should be happy. Lo'olamirin, they should always sing, you should protect them. Those who love you should be there at all times. Because you bless the tzaddik. You should encircle them with the ratzon, with ratzon Hashem, with your favor as a shield. They should have a shmira around them at all times. Ratzon is also the same letters as tzinor. There should be a pipe giving your own shefa down straight to them. Let's do our last one over here. This is the famous one, Perek Vav, that we all know. This was with an 8-stringed instrument. Now, this was done when he was very, very sick. For many years, possibly only 6 months, he had tzaras, David HaMelech. And it's possible that this is the prayer that he's saying when he had tzaras for those 6 months. It could be this also was done when there was a dever, a pestilence among the people. Anybody remember why the dever came? That's correct, because he counted them incorrectly over here. That's what happened. Regardless, there is, according to Gemara, this is referring to something else entirely. It's referring to the 8th day of Bris Milah. And that's what it's referring to over here. It's referring to the mitzvah of giving oneself a Bris Milah. And in fact, there is a minig. It's mentioned by Rabbi Elazar Gutmacher and Daf Kuf Lamed in Shabbos, that at a Bris, you should say this mizmor, and while the baby is crying, you can ask for whatever you want. I did it this morning at a Bris Milah. You say this mizmor, and you go on and you think whatever you want during this mizmor while you're saying it. There's a big kasha where also Gutmacher goes on. Is it referring to Yud Beis, which seems to be talking about Bris Milah more directly, or is it Lamed Sechel Hashminis? But in the end, where also Gutmacher goes with this one, that you're supposed to say this one.
Yud Beis is what we say on Shminis.
That is correct. That's the one that usually refers to the Bris itself in the 8th, right? That goes through it over there. Regardless, again, I told you that I might deal with Saras over there. Others say that this Tfila should be said right before you go to Olam Haba, right before you die. Hashem al be'apkal socheni. In your anger, do not chastise me. supposed to be asking you. Do not knock me down. Do not give me Musr out of pure wrath. That's what you want to be careful of. I'd rather get the Musr at a time when it's not wrathful, because when you're giving it to me out of anger, it's difficult for me to accept. Chanini Hashem, give me favor, because I'm so poor. Chanini Hashem, give me refuah, because all of my bones shake with fright over here. That's the idea. I can't do any more. I just can't deal with it whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. My soul is in great dread. I'm always scared. How long, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does the sickness have to go on? How long will these terrible things happen to me? That's the idea behind it. Some say that David HaMelech saw the angel of death, the Malach HaMavis, when he wrote that line. Pazakeh, Shuvah Hashem Chaltzen Afshi, return Hashem, Chaltzen Afshi, give me back my soul, She'inu Malchastecha, save me, as is your chesed, as that's your tzidkus, your ava, allow me to go. And it's not only save me, save my soul. My body feels the illness, and my soul feels sick. There's something wrong with my neshama, so to speak, because no one remembers you in death. When they're in the grave, who is going to thank you? After all, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to do anything while I'm still alive, but when I'm dead, no one's going to be able to compose more tehillim. Nobody's going to be able to bring you korbanos. Nobody's going to be able to daven and learn. So you, why should you kill me? It's better if you leave me alive to be able to do what I need to do. Pasuk Zayin, Yagati Nankosi. I am weary with all of my groaning. My bed is wet, I think it is, right? Yeah, I make it swim. I wet my bed with my tears. The Dimasi Arsiyam said, through my tears, my whole bed, my whole couch is completely soaked. That's what's happening over here. I just groan and cry whatsoever. There's an interesting little line where Victor Miller, when he once saw his granddaughter crying, he went up to her. He's crying over something, you know, spilled milk, let's call it, right? He goes up to her and says, you're going to cry. Cry about the Shechina and Galus. It's like the craziest line. But she remembered that. She remembered that. Every time she cried from that on, she remembered the Shechina and Galus. Like, well, whatever else is going on, it's such a crazy line. But that's the idea behind it. So either way, that's the idea behind it. Now, I will tell you, there's a ton of Eliyahu here. I'd never heard this before. When David HaMelech was old and stricken in years, he lay ill in bed for 13 years. I don't know if it's possible. Bathsheba was with him 13 years earlier, so maybe it was that once Bathsheba happened, he was doing tshuva the rest of his life.
How did he escape from Bathsheba?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know how he would have done anything. How he would have done anything in his life from that point on. Every day, seven cushions were changed from under him because of the quantities of fluids that his body, the pus that his body emitted. Therefore, it's RCM said, you literally melted away his possessions. I never heard that before. I mean,
it could be like a major thing that he was in a weakened state. He wasn't
because of what
it happened. That he
good call. Yeah, but that's a weird one, saying that he's lost all the cup, and that's why he's saying over here that I wet my bed. He's saying that.
Crazy, but I remember there was one patient in one of these nursing homes.
Yeah.
There's a thing called Pyrex. He was using 2 1,000 milliliters, which is like 2 liters.
Okay.
Of this, like, it's like a, I don't know, receptacle that it takes out pus.
Oh,
wound. This guy was using 2 liters a day.
Oh. You know, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the Gemara Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel Mabez. Pei Dalet Mabez. It skips over. Pei Dalet Mabez says that's what he did every night. He had pus and blood that would come from that filled up 60 sheets. Now, 60 is obviously an exaggeration, but that's crazy. I mean, you had 60 sheets and whatever filled with pus. My eye, out of anger, right, is just wasted. I can't see anymore. I become weak because of all of my adversaries and from all of that, right? And that's the idea. Turn away from me all of the evildoers. Listen to my cry. Listen to my supplication. Hashem, accept my prayer, my flowing prayer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we knew he was answered, because the tefillah was flowing from his lips. That's what Rechaniah Medosa said at the end of the Gemara in Brachos, in the fourth parak, I believe. Rechaniah Medosa said, whenever my tefillah goes, this shkura b'fi, it's able to be answered. Right? That's what he's saying. Plus, you get out of here. All of my enemies should be embarrassed and they should be ashamed. They should return and be confounded, be embarrassed, all in one instant. I'm sorry, all together. In other words, let them be embarrassed in this world for an instant, rather than get their suffering prolonged forever in the world to come. Listen to this. Yeah, I'm sorry, in the future, our Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to place a Torah scroll in his lap, so to speak, and invite Zechariah and Avodah. You just did this not so long ago, Edward. But invite all those who would follow the dictates of the Torah to come to follow to give the reward. Then Israel can go up and say, give us the Torah now, we'll fulfill it. So Hashem will give them the commandment to dwell in a sukkah, right? And we're skipping up parts of this Gemara, but gives them a sukkah. Takes the sun out of its sheath, causes them to kick the sukkah into parts, right? And David HaMelech, when describing these events, says his enemies will turn back and they'll be embarrassed. Embarrassed by what they had just done. They couldn't believe that they kicked it on their way out from Benin. That instant, they're all doomed and they'll never be able to come back. This pasuk, this parak, contains 11 psukim altogether, the same number of spices in the Ketores, to say that all those spices together turn out to be something good. So even though there's all this pain and suffering and the crying and everything out there, in the end it all turns out to be good. That's what comes out from this tilim over here. An amazing tilim, this is what we say in Tachlin every day. It makes you think, like, okay, there's something powerful to that tachlin. We'll stop with that, but...